We're on page Kuf Nun Vav. Hanakuda Shelo Nishbra Nikris Tov. The point that's never broken is called Tov. Now, just to review, for anyone who wasn't here yesterday, we started with Rabbi Nachman's famous cry, Ein Shum Yeyesh Ba'olam Klal. There's no Yeyesh in the world at all. And Rabbi Yaakov Meir Shechter explained to us that it's not a word of chizuk, it's not simply a word of encouragement, but it's a reality of creation that was true from the beginning of time until this very day. And we spent some time learning about the process by which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought his light into the world. After retracting his light, Hashem tried to reinsert the light into this world. There was a Shviras HaKelim, some type of shattering of the vessels, an inability to receive the light. And yet, amidst all of that brokenness, there's always some light that is retained and not lost, and contained, retained and contained. And our avoda is always to identify that nekuda, to find that point that still exists, and to be able to continue to build from that unbroken piece. Okay? So let's go much deeper into this sugya. Again, it'll become even more practical, as you'll see. Hanekuda shelo nishbra nikreis tov. The point that's not broken has a code name, and it's called tov. And let's find out why it's called tov. That nekuda, that point which is not broken in any situation, that point is called good, the good point. Now Rabbi Nachman has a very famous Torah, maybe multiple famous Torahs, where he talks about identifying the nekudos tovos, finding the good points. But good points, it's not just a random term that was selected. We're going to see the precision with which the word tov is used. And he explains right away. Kisora shvira merumas b'tchilas bereshis, b'pasuk va'aretz haisa sohu v'vohu v'choshech. Where is the breaking of the vessels hinted to at the beginning of the Torah? Well, the world was dark and desolate. It was empty. V'hatikunhu, and the fixing, of course, the fixing of that world of emptiness and void and darkness. Vayomer Elokim Yehi. Or, Hashem says we need to add some light to the world. Uvezar Isa or Shekvar Haya. This is the light that previously was. Hainu. Sheyizgale Shuv Haor Shehaya Kvar Lifnei Hashvira. The way we painted the picture yesterday is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is often described, right, or is represented by some type of light, an Or Ein Sof, an endless light. HaKadosh Baruch Hu retracted that light. By retracting that light, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a space for us to exist. But that space was a little bit too void, so Hashem returned some of the light to that space, and we struggled to absorb that light, leading to the breaking of the vessels, with a little bit of light actually remaining. And that's our world today. A lot of brokenness with nekudos of light. Points of light, points of goodness. So says the Zohar, Vayar Elokim Esaor, Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or, when Hashem says, let there be light, it's Hashem putting that light back into the void. Va'achar kach, but what does it say right after that? Vayar Elokim Esaor ki Tov. So we see that Tov is a code word for the restoration of this light. Again, don't get lost. It's not so complicated. It's super complicated, but to have a simple mashal is not so complicated. You have this infinite light that fills all of reality. Kodesh Baruch Hu carves out a space. That space is a little bit too empty, a little bit too dark. So Hashem tries to bring some of his light back into that space. Vayomer Elokim Yehi Or. In that process, there's some more brokenness because we're still not able to contain the light, even in measure, even within boundaries. Right? Even within contained light or restricted light, there's still some type of breaking that takes place. But nonetheless, Vayar Elokim Esaor ki Tov, that amidst the brokenness, there's some light which is Tov. There's some light which is unbroken. Uvachol Seder Habriya Desheshes Yemei Bereshis Nemar Al Kol Prate Habriya ki Tov. And that's why, time and again, in creation of the world, Hashem is reflecting on the tov of his world. Hashem knows that my world's going to have a lot of, superficially, my world's going to have a lot of brokenness. We spoke about it on Monday. Today is Yod Shvat, the yard site of the Friedeker Rebbe of Lubavitch, the sixth Lubavitch Rebbe, Rav Yosef Yitzchok Schneerson. And when the Lubavitch Rebbe took on, the seventh Rebbe, Rav Nachman Mendel Schneerson, took on his Nisius, and he became the Rebbe in 1951, on this day, on Yod Shvat. So the Lubavitch Rebbe expounded for the next 40 years the last teaching. He built off the last teaching of his father-in-law, the sixth Rebbe, Basi Lagani. Pasuk in Shir HaShirim, I have come to my garden, which Chazal interpret Leganuni, to my bridal chamber, the Yichud room. Right? Is there a more joyous place in the world than a Chasen and Kala, moments after the Chuppah, alone together in the Yichud room? Is there a better, you know, feeling in the world? So Hashem says, this world is my Yichud room. Basi Lagani, Basi Leganuni, right? This is my bridal chamber. What? This Meshuggah world? This is your like ideal place, Hashem? And Hashem says, yes. Misava Kadosh Baruch Hu, Lios Lo Dira B'Tachtonim. Hashem says, yes. I dafka look at this world, and it's not a jungle, like we said on Monday, it's a garden. It's a beautiful garden. Because Hashem's able to see Tov. And this is Tov. And this is Tov. And this is Tov. We see all the brokenness, we get lost in it. Hashem sees that little bit of light, and He understands that that light is infinitely stronger than all of the darkness that surrounds Him. So in the Seder HaBriya, Hashem is constantly identifying the Tov, Ki Tov. Klomar, Dila'achar HaShvira HaYatikon VaHaBriya Al Yedei Tov. That after the breaking, there's something called Or that remains, there's something called Tov. Okay? However, what else is called Tov? Torah is called Tov. The Kumoke Nikres HaTorah Tov. Torah is called Tov. Ein Tov Ela Torah, the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Hei. Shenamar ba ki lekach tov nasati lechem. Interesting. Torah is called Tov. Torah is called Or. Torah, so to speak, is that remnant of that which is unbroken. Someone give me a pasuk to prove it. That Torah is the unbroken remnant. Torah Hashem Tamima. Hashem's Torah is wholesome and perfect. Unbroken. The way the Shem Yishmuel brings it in several places that after the Chorban Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't just the Beis HaMikdash that crumbled, the whole world crumbled. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, everything in the world was destroyed with it. Everything had a Yerida, major Yerida. There's one thing that didn't have a Yerida, and that was Torah. And in fact, if everything around you falls, right, then Mamela, even without going up, you're automatically up. If everything around you drops down, then automatically you're up. And we see that with Torah. We see that with Torah. The explosion of Torah around the time of Churban Bayis Sheni, right? Shas, your Gemara is filled with, for the most part, post-Churban Bayis Sheni. This awesome explosion of Torah Shebaal Peh, right? So Torah Hashem Tamima, there's one thing that wasn't broken. That's why Torah is called Tov. Torah represents the unbroken light, so to speak, of creation. Ki lekach tov nasati lechem. V'hatzadik nikra tov. A tzadik who's elevated above the brokenness of the world. A tzadik who is able to experience Mashiach before Mashiach even reveals himself in the world, as there are stories of tzadikim, who are living beyond galus. Whether it was Yaakov Avinu, Bikesh Yaakov legalus asakets. Yaakov wanted to teach, Svasema says, Yaakov wanted to teach the Shvatim that even though you're in Mitzrayim, you could be above Mitzrayim. Even though you're in a jungle, it can be a garden. Even though Mashiach hasn't come yet, you can still tap into it with the right perspective. So the tzaddik is also called Tov. Imru tzaddik ki Tov, like the pasuk says in Yeshayah. Umimena mea tov hazen, from this Tov, yaseir upina lischachos uletikun kol davar. That from this nekuda of Tov, you could rebuild anything, you could strengthen anything, you could fix anything. V'lachein b'sipur ma'isa ha'mabal. Look what he writes here, amazing. When the Mabel came to destroy the world, shenishtal shel misod ha'shvira. Again, chaver, we learned yesterday, ma'asha ha'yehu sheyihya. Every story in Torah, every experience in your life, is a miniature version of this story. The story of Shvira Sakelim. Things getting broken, some things remaining, having the strength to rebuild out of the brokenness, right? That's a microcosm of every experience in the world. So the Mabul, right? The Mabul was a form of Shriya Sakelim. As it says in the Eitz Chaim, as the Arizal explains in his very deep way. And that's why it says, Vayomer Hashem lenoach, ki oschara isi tzadik lefanai bezor hazeh. You are the tzaddik. And tzaddik is tov. Imru tzaddik ki tov. And therefore, when everything else is being destroyed, you're going to survive. Hanakuda shenischa bebeteva v'lo chala lav shira. You're going to be that point that doesn't get damaged, by the breaking of the world. So there's always a point that remains. Call it Or, call it Torah, call it Noach, call it Tzaddik, call it whatever you want to call it. But there's something that's always 100% wholesome. U'mimena nivna v'nischa desha olam. And then from Noach, of course, you can rebuild the whole world. Bottom paragraph. V'zeh sod v'or ha-chesed nishar b'yisod da'atzilos. Now, we skipped over these very deep words yesterday, and I'm still going to skip over most of it. I'm going to keep it very simple. The or of chesed, I'm going to take out the word atzilos. I don't know what that word means. The or ha-chesed nishar b'yisod. The light of chesed remains in yisod. It's a quote from the Arizal. In the seven lower spheros, which we sometimes refer to as the seven emotional attributes of God, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, the 7 weeks of Sfira Sa'omer, the seven Ushpizin, right? Avraham is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gvura, Yaakov is Tiferes. So Chesed is the highest. Chesed, Gvura, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, Malchus. So the Arizal says the light of Chesed remains in Yesod. In other words, without really knowing what Chesed is, without really knowing what Yesod is, without really knowing what Sviros are, without even knowing how to count from Chesed to Yesod, very simply, Chesed is higher and Yesod is lower. So as the light falls, as the light is descending, as the light is shattering, some of it remains in Yesod. Well, what does that mean to us? Again, we're here, we're learning Avodas Hashem. We're not learning Kabbalah, we're learning Avodas Hashem. So what does that mean? Who's a Yesod? Yesod means foundation. Right? That means when all of the ore is breaking, is shattering, when most people can't catch the ore and contain the ore, there's a Yesod. There's somewhere for it to rest. There's a foundation. There's someone or somewhere where the ore can be gathered, and that's Yesod. That's at the base. Who's the base? Who's the foundation? Who's the foundation? Bechinas, he says, Tzadik Yesod Olam. We know that a tzaddik is the yesod of the world. That's why when you're going through a tough time, the Gemara says, a person who has a sickness in their home should go to the tzaddik and ask the tzaddik to daven for it. Why? Because the tzaddik represents a place above the shvira. The tzaddik represents a point of wholesomeness. Sickness means my body's not in sync. Right? My heart is not communicating properly with my liver, with my kidneys, with my brain, with my eyes, with whatever it is. Something to go to less brokenness. So I go to the tzaddik. The tzaddik is the yesod ha'olam. The tzaddik is the foundation of the world. Shehu higia l'shleimus nekudazu. Because as the ore, so to speak, is descending and falling and crumbling, but there's somewhere where it's being received and being properly provided for. Visham shora ava hakadosha el Hashem yisbarach b'chad ketira. Ukamokein etzel kol echad ve'echad miyisrael. Bevada yeshbo nekuda kadosha miyuchedes shesham shora ava el Hashem yisbarach. The same thing is true. It's not only the tzaddik who's like this awesome, his whole being is just elevated and wholesome. And there's a point of tzaddik inside of every one of us. Every one of us has our yisod. Every one of us has a point of absolute, unadulterated love for Hashem. There's a point of Ava that's pure inside of all of us. Again, Elokai neshama shenasatabi tohorehi. We all have a point. V'gam imhi ne'alemes v'nisteres v'niras ve'inav shishvira v'harusa ari yasodba. And even if a person looks like they've fallen to the ground and the whole thing has crumbled, right? Imagine, a building fell down to its yesod, down to its foundation. Okay, but it can't fall below its yesod. There's an amazing line I once saw from Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was the co-founder of the Eda Charedis in Yerushalayim, a contemporary of Rav Kook, Zatzal. Rav Yosef Chaim Zanfeld once said, he said that when it comes to Yeridos, if you think about it, from a natural perspective, yeah? First it climbs to the top of Belfer, right? And jumps down. Yeah? There's only so far you could fall. At some point you stop falling. Right? You may be dead, God forbid. Right? But when a person falls, if I stood on my desk and I just fell off my desk, yeah, I would fall to the floor and then I would stop. Up, there seems to be no ceiling. Right? There's no point that up like ends, as far as I understand it to be. Down, right, ends from any perspective. I could jump out of a plane 30,000 feet above the earth, yeah, and but there's a bottom. There's a point where it stops, right? Up is endless. So if Yosef Chaim Zanfeld said, that simple mushel of the Bria is important for us to think about in a spiritual sense. In terms of up, there's always more to go up, right? In terms of down, there's only so far a person can go down. That's what we're working on believing in this piece. That in all of the breaking, and all of the falling, there's no point where you fall to the point where there's nothing left. That even when a person's building, so to speak, collapses, it falls ad ha-yesodba to its foundation. But again, if the ore fell from chesed to yesod, okay, but it's gathered in yesod. Hi kayemes tamid la-netzach. She'i'efsha b'shum ofen she'yichol sham shvira. There's a point where it just can't break any further. U'kesha'ad the mis'acheiz b'torah. So when I cling to Torah, which is called tov, u'mizdabik b'tzadik, and I attach myself to righteous people, which are called tov, and if I train myself to say good and to see good, like Rabbi Nachman talks about, again, finding the nekudos tovos. I was saying to someone yesterday, we have to talk more about the good things we do. We get very stuck on the things that we don't do so well. Talk about the good things you do. Right? So far today, if you would ask me, Moshe Tzvi, how's your day going? I don't know, it's okay. Pretty uneventful. Right? Nothing crazy has happened so far. It's okay. It's been alright. Right? Okay, that's a very bland, very uninspired perspective of my own life. Okay? Here's a more inspired version, which is nothing so fancy, but it's actually super inspiring if you focus on it and you see the good in it. I woke up this morning. Okay, so that's already awesome. The fact that God woke me up. I said Modani. I watched Netilas Yadayim. Right? I've probably said more than, I don't know, 50 brachos today already. Right? I davened. I put on tefillin. I've learned Torah. I've taught Torah. I've given tzedakah. I provided for others. I performed chesed today. I did like a million things already. Right? And I feel like I'm barely awake. I'm like, I'm still like in a fog. It's still early in the morning. We're still waking up here, you know? I did so many good things already today. So I could look at my day as like, eh, nothing special. Or I could say mitzvos and more mitzvos and Torah and tefillah and tzedakah and chesed and tefillin. And there's so many things I did. And tzitzis. I put on my shoes in accordance with the halacha. Right? I said Asher Yatzar. I thanked Hashem for... I mean, I did a million things. I did a million and one things already, and so did all of you. Right? So if we focus, if we train ourselves to say good and to think good and to talk about those things, to be mindful of the tzaddik within me, I miss all the things that, you know, could have got up earlier, I could have got to davening on time better, I could have had more kavana during Shemona Esrei, I could have this, I could have that, right? I could have made my brain of fashos with more kavana. Right? There's a lot of things I could have done, right? So we gravitate towards that, or become overwhelmed by whatever's, you know, not working out. Instead of attaching myself to Torah, attaching myself to the tzaddik, and again, being mindful of your own Torah. And Torah doesn't just mean Torah study. Torah means living a life of Torah. If you washed Netilas Yadayim this morning, you're living a life of Torah. If you made a brach on your coffee, you're living a life of Torah. And say that's tzaddik, that's tov, that's good, that's real stuff. Amidst all the craziness of the world, I remember to make shahakal on my coffee. That's a chashiv thing. As I achoz hu ba'osin nekuda nitzchis shalonish baras l'olam. I'm grabbing on to the unbrokenness amidst all the brokenness. And with this attitude of recognizing Tov and attaching myself to Tov, the Torah can transform me. My connection to a tzaddik can transform me. My belief in the essential goodness of myself can transform me. I can rebuild from the most broken of broken and fallen places. And therefore there's no despair at all. There's nothing to be tzabrachin about. If it looks like everything's falling apart, so start learning more. Attach yourself to a tzaddik. Find the good points in yourself. Yes. I think both. I mean, again, I don't know if you have to share it with anyone else. To just say it out loud to yourself is also meaningful. Right? Oh, I mean, again, there is a holy gaiva that can be helpful for a person who's down on himself. Right? And the holy gaiva means to talk good about himself. Right? And again, if he doesn't know how to find those nekudot tovot, so go to the tzaddik. Let the tzaddik tell you how good you are. Right? Go sit with the tzaddik and watch how the tzaddik calls you tzaddik. He says, what are you saying? You're tzaddik. I'm tzaddik. He says, you're wrong. You're also tzaddik, and here's why. And he shows you. He shows you to believe in yourself. He shows you to recognize the essential goodness of yourself. Okay? Okay, Chavir, let's keep going because it gets even more beautiful. Biur b'chazam b'pnei mad dibros rishonos lo nemer b'hem tov. Amazing Gemara in Bava Basra. The Gemara in Bava Basra says that there was a difference between the first Luchos and the second Luchos. Al Pisa Yesh Lavaris, and Amar B'Gemara, the Gemara says, Bava Kama, Bava Kama Nundali Nunhei, B'pnei Ma B'Dibros HaRishonos Lo Nemar Behem Tov. Why by the first Luchos does it not say Tov? In other words, when you open up the first presentation of the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Yisro, you will not see the word Tov. U'B'Dibros Achronos Nemar Behem Tov. But if you look at the second presentation of the Aseres HaDibros in Parshas Rabotai Beschanan, right, you will see the word Tov. Where will you find the word Tov? By Kibur Ava'im, in the second presentation of the Luchos in Beschanan, it says, Ka Beres Avicha Vesimecha, Kasher Tzivcha Hashem Elokecha, Laman Ya'arichon Yamecha, U'Laman Yitav Lach. Honor your parents, and it will be good for you. So the Gemara wonders why in Parshas Yisro does it not say good, and why in Parshas Veschanan does it say good? Yeah, what's the difference? Why is that so? Now, whether or not that's true about the act what was written on the first Luchos or the second Luchos is a big discussion. We're not going to go there right now. So we're talking about the presentation. In Parashas Yisro, it says, honor your parents, you'll have long life. It doesn't say, l'man yitav lach. In Parashas Ve'eschanan, it says, honor your parents, you'll have long life, and it will be good for you. So why does it say good by the second Luchos? Perish Rashi, nemar behem tov, l'man yitav lach. Rashi gives us the pasuk in case you don't have a chumash in front of you. U'maskinam be'gemara, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Ho'el v'sofan li'shtaber. Since the first Luchos were destined to be broken, it didn't say Tov. Because God forbid, if the word Tov is in the first Luchos that break, Chas v'shalom paska tova miYisrael, then God forbid goodness will be broken from the Jewish people. This is such a strange Gemara. If the word Tov is on the Luchos and the Luchos break, so then God forbid the word the Tova will be broken, will cease to exist from the Jewish people. Uh-huh. So the first Luchos that say, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, which did break, so maybe faith in God will be broken from the Jewish people. Zachor is Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. So the first Luchos that did break, maybe remembering the Shabbos will be broken from the Jewish people. What's this? We're so nervous about the word Tov being broken. But I don't have to explain anything to you. If you've been paying attention the last 2 days, you already know exactly what the answer is. And that is, we just learned that Tov is a code word for that which is not broken. Tov can't be broken. Tov means Torah. Tov means the tzaddik. Tov means the essential goodness, the amech kulam tzaddikim, the essential goodness of every Jew. And therefore, if the word tov is broken, it goes against the very nature of creation. So look again how the luchos themselves are once again shviras hakelim, and the part that remains. That there's always going to be a second luchos. After the luchos break, there's always a second luchos. V'kasha. V'harei guf haluchos nishbru ba'atzmam ha'kol ha'psukim v'tevoseim v'osiyoseim ha'kadoshim. What are you so worried about the word tov? The luchos themselves shattered. And all the holy words and letters that were written on it were destroyed. What's the big deal about the word tov? B'chever, we're learning Torah deeply. I don't know how a person reads this Gemara, Pashup Pshat, and understands what on earth it's talking about. Now at least we feel like, this could be a real Pshat. This could be what the Gemara really means. Now I understand what this Gemara might actually mean. Yesh lomar. Ki bevada inyan shviras haluchos v'nisinasan shenis. The breaking of the luchos. The possibility of a second luchos. Again, this is rooted in the secret of breaking and fixing that goes back to creation itself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared the medicine before the illness. Hashem knew with his infinite knowledge the first luchos are going to break, but Hashem says, but there's a tov that doesn't break. Hashem intentionally ha'alim, he hid. He concealed the word tov from the luchos. That Shvira shouldn't take root there. That Shvira shouldn't find itself there. That would create the possibility of Luchos Shnios. After all the broken worlds, you keep going. But if Tov would have been written openly on the Luchos, and this word Tov, which again represents that root of fixing, Shorosh anakuda shelo nishberes, that point that doesn't break, as we've explained, im haya mishave bo shvira, if that would have been connected to broken luchos, haysa chalila nefsekes hatov mi Yisrael kediyisa sham b'gemara, then that would be a pagam, there would be a damage in the tov, and that would be very, very scary. Vayalokim asaor ki tov. Hashem created the world, and out of the darkness, there was tov, there was Torah, there was a tzaddik, there was the good in a person. There's always that possibility of luchos shnios. Yeah.
I think it's also mashma that, like, Rebbe was saying, like, Anochi Hashem al kecha broke the zechar shel Shabbos broke. But what we're talking about is that everything is rebuilt from this nikuda of tov, and so as long as tov isn't broken, all those other things that it's broken can still be built back to tov.
Right.
If tov had been broken, then there would have been no way to fix those other things.
Right. Right. Once you have the tov, it fixes everything. Anything and everything could be fixed. Again, what to think about here, why Tov is dafka by Kibbut Avaim, definitely what to think about. Why is that the place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu inserted the Tov? But okay, there's always a lot more to think about. Yeah?
Hashem also says,
right. Shkoyach for breaking the Luchos. Why? Because by breaking the Luchos, you created the possibility of second Luchos. You proved that there could be a second Luchos. That's chasha. We have to know. Shkayach for breaking the luchos and proving to Klal Yisrael that even after breaking the luchos, right, Bereishis le'inei kol Yisrael, the last three words of the Torah, Rashi says, shkayach for breaking the luchos, yashar koach sheshibarta, Hashem was saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, great job breaking the luchos, and then we start again. And then we go, do it all over again. We try again. Always can go weiter. Okay, let's go further. Let's talk about how a person coming back to this world after they're dead, one of the principles of our faith, and marriage, right, the concept of marriage, is also very much connected to this. Obviously, breaking is synonymous with death. Like we find when it lists the leaders of Esav in Parshas Vayishlach, it says Vayamas Vayimloch. This one died, Vayimloch, and the next one took over and continued to rule. This one died, and then the next one continued to rule. And this one died. It's listing the kings of Edom. Very end of Parshas Vayishlach. Okay? Shesipur Zeh, Shal Misas Zayin Hamalachim. who Meluchas HaMelech HaShmini Hadar Shelo Nemar Bo VeYamos Hu Svod HaShvira VaTikon Kamuva Beitz Chai. Okay, here's just another example of a series of psukim that you read at the end of Parshas VaYishlach as you're, you know, trying to do Shnayim Mikra or whatever, or trying to pay attention in Shul, and you wonder to yourself, why on earth did Hashem write this in the Torah? These are the kings who reigned in the land of Edom before a king reigned over the children of Israel. Bela, the son of Beor, reigned in Edom, and the name of his city was Dinhava. And Bela died. And Yovav took over. And Yovav died. And Husham took over. Right? And Husham died. And Hadad took over. Who cares? Seven kings, he ruled, he died, he ruled, he died, he ruled, he died, he ruled, he died. Finally, you come to the eighth one. And all of a sudden, the eighth one, it tells us a little bit more. By the eighth one, it never says that he died. It says, after the seventh died, there's an eighth one. Think eight, Lamal Minateva. Think Chanukah Pach Shemen. When everything is destroyed, there's always a pure jar of oil. What was the name of the eighth king? Ahadrin min Mahadrin. His name was Hadar. His name was Hadar, says the Torah. Right? And he ruled. Now, of course, he eventually also died, but the Torah doesn't say that he died. And you know what else it tells us different about this king than the other kings? It tells us who he's married to. This is the only one it tells us. There was a king named Hadar. His city was called Pau, and his wife's name was Mehetava. Shkoyach. Why do I need to know this? If you look in the Arizal's Eitz Chaim, Imamish says these psukim, which we just gloss over, where, you know, where we get that like spaced out look in our eyes when you hear these psukim, right? It's the deepest psukim. It's literally describing, in some secretive way, creation of the world. The breaking and the breaking and the breaking until eventually Hadar, there's a king who doesn't die. And the king is able to marry. Let's see what it all means. Nimsa shebelashon haTorah misa hishvira. So you see in the language of the Torah, misa is a code word for breaking. The end of a kingdom. The end of a malchus. Ve'im shemuva be'etz chayim. Shekemo shebe'etz shvira sakelim yardu imahem resh peches nitzotze or. Besod va'aretai sasov avo v'choshech. Haram amaram ezal shvira. Okay? Now he's adding a new concept for us. We'll just take the words and try to keep going. That at the time of shvira sakelim, there were 288 sparks of light, nitzotze or, that we're trying to collect. Most of them, by the way, were collected in Mitzrayim. When the Torah says in three places you're not allowed to go back to Egypt, it's because there's no holy sparks to collect there anymore. Most of the 288, the Sfarim say, were collected in Mitzrayim. There are a few other ones that are around the world that we're collecting. We're still trying to gather them in. They're hidden somewhere here in America, and in France, and in London, and in all sorts of interesting places, and in Venezuela, and in Florida. Yeah. Okay, so we're trying to gather these sparks. Right? We're trying to gather these sparks. Turn the page. Kuf Nun Ches. So there's the Shvira Sakelim at the beginning of time. There's these 288 fallen sparks. Nitzotze Or. And then what does it say? At the beginning of Chumash? When Hashem's about to say, V'yomer Elokim Yehi Or. Right? There's Tohu, there's Vohu, there's Choshech al Pnei Sahom, V'ruach Elokim, but there's also a spirit of God. The Medrash says, Zeruch Hashem Mashiach. And what is that Ruach of Mashiach doing? It's Mirachefes al Pnei Hamayim. What is Mirachefes? Look at the word Mirachefes. He tells us in the top line of Kuf Nun Ches. Mirachefes is the secret, says the Arizal, of Resh Peches Meis. The 288. The 288 sparks that are dead. What's 288? It's a random number. Everything's random until you know what it is. Pesachas Yevamos is also random. You know? Take off a shoe and you spit on the floor. And everything's random. Paraduma is random. Putting on tefillin's random. Everything's random. You know, everything's wacky until you get used to it. So, the Resh Peches, the Tzotze Or, what is this idea? Right. I don't know. Chesed plus Gvura is 288. Chesed plus Gvura, is that right? Chesed plus Gvura? I think so. So what is this? Merachefes. The Spirit of God is Merachefes. That even though Reish Peches Mace, even though the 288 have died, but the Spirit of Hashem is still there. We can still fix it. Shahaya Roichef ala Kelim Anishbar and Reish Peches Nitzutzeur. That hovering over the broken vessel, so to speak, is the possibility of what? Of restoring something. Shayideza yuchlu lavo shuv l'tchia. That you're able to what? There could be a tchia sameisim. The broken vessels can be rebuilt. V'chein hu chein hu begufim shalanu besod v'nafsho alav te'aval. Like the soul that mourns over itself. Sheish chelak katan uma'at mehanefesh ashor alat samos besod hevle degarmi de'nemar bezalar. That even when you're dead and your bones are sitting in the ground, there's a spirit of life. There's some point of connection to the neshama that's alive even in death. And from there will come tchiyah sameisim. Ukishyas or milamala shefa tchiyah. And when the time for tchiyah sameisim comes, as the Navi Yeshaya says, v'yizbiya b'tzach z'chois nafshecha, that there's going to be this reawakening of the bones. The bones will be strengthened, and you'll be like what? Like a gan raveh, like a garden that's well watered. Right? Your dry bones will come back to life. Tchias amesim. Unbelievable. He says, Derech Agav, I'll mention in passing, he says in parentheses, Lachain kol davar sheyesh bo tam mar'e v'reyach. What's the Hebrew word for something that you bury it in the ground, right? And then it grows, and it when it reemerges, it's so beautiful. It has a nice smell. It has a nice appearance, right? Sometimes has a nice flavor as well. We call it prachim. We call it perach, right? Because that's, so to speak, the reish peches, the fallen sparks that are what? That are being rebuilt, that are starting to blossom. Out of the dirt, out of the death. It's a tchias amazing that we see all the time. We don't see people come back from the ground yet, but we see a decomposing seed sprout into something beautiful. So if we just open our eyes, we'd realize we've seen tchias amazing before. We see it all the time. We don't see it on the level of people, but we see it within vegetation, we see it within animal, we see it within plant life. Shezagam kein sod tchias amazing. This is part of the secret of Tchias HaMeisim that we're able to see. Im kol ze gam ad oz kishanu b'nei tumusa nimtzam oid ba'olam hazeh himshech lanu Hashem Yisparach tikun v'tikva shochayim v'hiskin menu binyan ade ad mehanakuda shelo nishtabra v'hu inyan hanesuin. What's he saying? He's saying Tchias HaMeisim, we don't have that yet. But we have something called marriage. What does marriage have to do with Tchias HaMeisim? Right? We don't see people coming back from the dead, but we do see marriage. What does one have to do with the other? Ma inyan nesu'in etzal Tchias HaMeisim. He says, it's merumas b'maimer chazal, in the Gemara Bava Basra, kol ha-ma'amid ben tzadik ki'ilu lo meis. Anyone who raises a child who's righteous, it's as if he hasn't died. What is the purpose of marriage? It's really about peruvu, right? Marriage itself is actually perhaps not even a mitzvah. It's a hechsher mitzvah to the first mitzvah of the Torah, which is peruvu. Peruvu, be fruitful and multiply. Right? On a most simple level, without any spiritual, explanation, if I have a child, if my child is alive, and I'm no longer alive, then I'm still a little bit alive. Why? Because my child carries parts of me inside of himself. Whether it's his, biological makeup, or whether it's his personality traits, or whether it's his memories of me, right? I live on in my child. So Nisuin is about continuity. It's about having children, and then grandchildren, and then the next generation, and the next generation. So in a certain sense, even after the individual has died, their children become their tchias amesim. It keeps them alive. So says the Gemara, anyone who raises a righteous child, it's as if he hasn't died. Why? In death, there's a point that lives on. Right? Your child's not exactly you. It doesn't look exactly like you. It doesn't think exactly like you. It doesn't act exactly like you. But if you look carefully, you see there's an akuda there that is exactly like you. There's something there that is 100% a proof of you. Whereas the Gemara says, Bara kar'e de avuahu. Bara, the son, kar'e, are the legs, are the feet of avuahu. In other words, as your neshama drifts beyond this world, your child keeps your presence in this world. V'amuna kadosha ha-nemer bav etzadik b'amunaso yichya nimsheches al yidei zel v'natzach nitzachim. And therefore, that point of truth lives on in your child. L'chein nemar b'zeh matza isha matza tov. Anyone know this Gemara at the beginning of Brachos? The Gemara says, when people used to get married in Eretz Yisrael, they would ask them, matza or moitze? What type of shidduch did you get? Is your wife going to make your life better or worse? Right? Matza isha matza tov. That's one pasuk. You find a woman, you find goodness. There's another pasuk that says, moitze aniya se'isha mar mi mavis. I found the woman to be more bitter than death. So they would ask people, matza or moitze? You know? A couple weeks into the marriage, how's it going? Matza or moitze? Right? Matza isha matza tov. Or moitze aniya se'isha mar mi mavis. You have a matza type of marriage or a moitze type of marriage? Yeah? But it's a pasuk, matza isha matza tov. Interesting, tov, there's our magic word again. Why is matza isha matza tov? If you found a spouse, then you found goodness. Why? Because through a marriage, there's a possibility of children and continuity. And again, continuity means that which is unbroken, that unbroken chain, that part of you that lives on forever, even in actual, physical, biological death. Matza isha matza tov. Ki ka'amor tov merames al nekuda shelo nishbra. Tov again is the part that's not broken. Shall yidei hanisuin nisgala umoitze es hatov, osa nekuda shelo tishaver la'olam. It's also a tchias amesim of sorts because every one of us is half a neshama until we find our other half. So there's a certain shlemus that comes along with marriage, and that shlemus, that wholesomeness, again, means that which is above shvira, above brokenness. I was thinking yesterday when we were singing at the end of Shir. Right? What does Rabbi Nachman teach? Mitzvah gedola liyos b'simcha tamir. Ein shum yayish ba'olam klal. What's the relationship between simcha and ein shum yayish ba'olam klal? So on a simple level, right? You're happy knowing that you shouldn't despair. There's nothing to despair about. Things are going to be okay. That should give you confidence to be happy. But again, simcha is associated with shleimus. The Maharal says that a person who's not married, when the Gemara says in Yevamos, a person who's not married is lacking simcha, it's because he's lacking shleimus. Torah Hashem tamima, like Noam told us earlier. Hashem's Torah is tamima, it's complete, it's wholesome. It's above the shvira. So when a person gets married and their life becomes more whole, right, they have greater simcha, the Gemara says. So the idea of what? Of mitzvah gedol alios b'simcha and ein shum yayish, why do they go hand in hand? They go hand in hand because simcha means shleimus. And that's exactly what the ein shum yayish is about. There's a part of me that's always shalem. There's a part of me that's always shalem. Right? Amidst all the brokenness, there's not a broken, like we said yesterday, there's not a broken piece that I can salvage and do something with. There's a part amongst the brokenness that's perfectly complete, that's unbroken, that's 100% the way it's supposed to be, unbroken. And therefore, again, that's why Nisuin is a form of Tchias HaMesim. It allows for life to continue. Very deep ideas, beautiful ideas. So now we come back to the Pesukim at the end of Vayishlach. We have a king. His name is Hadar. He seems to never die. The other seven kings, it says, this one died, this one died, this one died, this one died. The eighth king, his name is Hadar. It doesn't say that he died, and it tells us that he got married. It tells us of the eight kings, there was one who was married. It says Rav Yaakov Meir Shechter. Next little paragraph. V'zeh merumaz ba'oyrach pela paparsha demisas hamalachim. So this reveals to us a wondrous pathway in explaining these psukim in Vayishlach. Sheheyos shemisas hamalachim hu sod hashvira. If the death of the kings represents, again, instant replay of creation itself, the shattering of the vessels. Vinisuin hu tikun lazeh. And marriage is part of the way that a person is able to have shleimus. It's the way that a person has continuity. It's a way of living even when you're not alive. It's the biggest chizik in the world. L'chein etzel melech hashmini. Shelo nizkar etzlo misa. So the eighth king, it doesn't mention death, and it mentions that he was married. Kel yedei. Shikiel yado netakin hashvira nemar bo v'shem ishto. It tells us the name of his wife. Hainu inin hanesuin. Shesham mizgala nekuda shelo nishbra. What an amazing thing. Okay? We'll end with one final paragraph today. Nesuin tikun hamisa. V'sipur li harav hatzadik, Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender zatzal. He says, I heard from Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender, one of the great personalities in the world of Breslov, of more recent years. Rav Levi Yitzchak Bender zatzal told me, Sh'harav HaKadosh Rav Baruch Mimezhbush. Rav Baruch Mimezhbush, the brother of the Degel Machaneh Ephraim, the grandson of the Baal Shem Tov. Chitein es bito im harav hakadosh michmelnik. He married off his daughter to the tzaddik from Chmelnik. She is sparsing between Muso Harbe. And this tzaddik was known for what? For tremendous tmimus, wholesomeness and simplicity. Lifnei ha-chuppah, top line of page Kuf Nun Tes, before the chuppah, Pana Rav Baruch l'mechutano, Rav Baruch turned to his mechutan, Sheyomer musr l'chassan samach l'chuppaso kanog, to give a little musr to the chassan before the chuppah. Right? Before the chuppah, it's a tremendous time of tshuva, a tremendous eis ratzon. Right? So certain tzaddiki would say, they were known to say particularly strong or sharp comments right before the chuppah to help the chassan to understand the weightiness of the situation. Hunigash elav v'amr lo. So he went over to him and he said, B'nai, my son, Yadoa teida, you should know very well, ki lachein svichem l'schasin. You know why you need to get married? Yishum shesvichem lamus, because you need to die. Marriage is the antidote to death. What? What a strange thing is that to say? And he said it, stam v'lo pirish. He said it straight, without any explanation. And obviously, a cryptic statement from such a intense, Rav Baruch HaMezhbush was known to be particularly intense, very fierce. So Rav Baruch to say such a strong statement to a chassan right before the, what does that mean? You need to marry because you're going to die. But now we understand a little bit perhaps what the tzaddik was hinting to. But who can is kerleel? Shanisuin heim heim atikun v'achayim hamamtikim es inyan hamisa. Marriage is the tikkun. Marriage is the tikkun to what? To misa. Marriage allows us to experience a form of tchiyas hameisim, even in our lifetime. When I'm still alive, I look at my own children and I say, "Ah, Baruch Hashem, I have continuity in this world." And Eretz Hashem, they'll have their own children, right? And there's a part of me that will live on, whether it's revealed or concealed, whether people talk about me after I'm dead or not, right? But there's a nakuda that's transmitted from one generation to the next. Okay, and that's how we overcome the ultimate shvira, which is Misa itself. Okay? So again, unbelievably deep ideas, an expansion of this yesod. But again, I want you more than anything. I mean, you have a new appreciation for so many things. But on the most basic level, what I want you to walk away with is I want you to understand, again, how this applies to our life. Right? Nisuin is not only, get married and contact the ladies from YU Connects. That's not... Although I want to give shkoyach to some people who have had meetings with them, and I think it's very good. It's excellent. But nisuin also means marry yourself, right? Reconnect with yourself. Find that nekuda that's called tov, matza isha, matza tov. Find that place of connection within yourself. And be more wholesome. Allow yourself to attach yourself to Torah. Be attached to tzaddikim. There's a lot of real practical... We're learning very lofty, deep secrets of creation, but there's very practical things that he's teaching us. He's teaching us how to be connected and how to be confident and how to be hopeful, right? And how to have the assurance that things are okay when it looks like it's not okay. And again, he's not only talking. Sometimes we read these pieces and you feel like, he's talking to people who must be going through really difficult, dramatic life struggles. It's anything. It's any little difficulty that you have in your life. There's an element of shvira, but there's an element of tov. There's a tikkun, there's an or, there's a point of purity and wholesomeness that can never be taken away. Okay? Yeah. Right.
Even more than that, like, the parents will die and the kids eat the parents. So, like, it is, like,
right.
To, like, experience the
kids. Yeah, that's super intense. Listen, Esther, one of the greatest, you know, heroines of Jewish history. The Gemara says about Esther, she never had parents. When her mother became pregnant, her father passed away, and then as she was being born, her mother died in childbirth. From the second Esther came to this world, she was without children. The Baal Shem Tov also, the Baal Shem Tov's father died at a very young age, and he told him, from this day forward, you need to take God as your father. And he did. Took Hashem on as his father. You know, so in that brokenness, sometimes there's opportunities for deeper appreciation and deeper connection. But yeah, it's an amazing thing to think that Hashem sometimes, you know, Dor Holech V'Dor Ba, right? Literally, as one generation is being born, the other one is dying out. Vayamas v'yimloch. This one died, the next one took over. But again, Hadar, there's always that eighth king. The eighth married king. It's good stuff. He's taking like the biggest, most complicated sugyas in Kabbalah, and he's packaging them so nicely and neatly for us. We have to be so appreciative to our Rebbe, of Yaakov Meir Shechter, for this. We would have no access to these things. These things are way above us. Putting it down in a way that's in the realm of revealed Torah and avodas Hashem. It's so important to live these as halachos. It's not just chizuk, but it's mamish the proper hashkafa sachaim. Yeah.
I'm just thinking about why it specifically is imposed by
Kibbutz. Yeah, let's hear. Right. Karasatov, Kibbutz Avim is rooted in a Karasatov, right? Sefer Chinuch, Tzvalamed Gimel, Karasatov. Kibbutz Avim is rooted in the appreciation that what would I be without my parents?
No?
It's auspicious because today is Daf Lamed Gimel and Daf Yomi. It's Mitzvah Lamed Gimel, it's Kibbutz Avim.
What's the hint to remember that?
I don't know. Lag Ba'omer. Rishon Bar Yochai is all about Banu Matem L'Hashem Elokeichem. That's how I remember it. Rabbi Shimon's whole teaching, right, is that it's like his Rebbe, Rabbi Akiva, Benkach Benkach Kriyim Banim, the bond between parent and child. Avinu as opposed to Malkeinu. So yeah, that's how I remember it. Rabbi Shimon's Slam and Gimel. All right, time for Gemara.